You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
7:06 right now. Good music choice, Parker.
I tried.
Considering we're about to talk about the State of the Union and what's to come in Washington, D.C. tonight, I feel like Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac is very appropriate this morning, Brian.
It is very appropriate. We want to hear from you. What do you expect to hear tonight during the State of the Union? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You know the president is going to use tonight's State of the Union to argue that his tariffs and his economic agenda is working, that we are stronger than ever, that this is the golden age of America, that he is doing everything to protect you, and the radical left and the insane Democrats and everybody who dares speak against him has Trump derangement syndrome. And I'm setting the over-under at length at 2 hours and 17 minutes. Jamie, do you want to bet the over or the under?
Oh, I'm going to go under, only because this speech starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and I feel like that's a little late for this particular president. I'm going to say that it clocks in just under 2 hours is what I'm going to say. So we'll see who is correct tomorrow.
I'm betting the over. Okay. Jamie is betting the under.
Okay.
Parker, you want to bet on this?
Are
you
going to go over or I under? Want in
217
on this.
Is the 217 line.
217 is crazy. I don't think that I can talk for 2 hours and 17 minutes. I'm going to go under.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
I'm confident that something will go wrong and his handlers will pull him away.
All right. Now, yes, if he's pulled away for some sort of accident, let's say, like in the Oval Office. We'll use that as an example. If all of a sudden the State of the Union has to stop because of some unforeseen issue, I think the bet is negated. We'll leave that.
Yes.
Frank can be the judge of that.
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't think?
No,
all right,
no.
Fine.
That's part of the game.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. So you and Jamie are betting the under. We'll bet $1 each.
Okay.
That way it's a bet.
Sure.
So I stand to make the most.
Frank,
money
do you want to get in on this?
Frank,
I see you pop
in.
What do you mean negated? That's part of the game. I'm
all right.
Totally on board with Parker.
Okay.
With
so are you betting over or under?
The only reason I would bet over
is because I did, and I'm right.
No, it's because Jamie and Parker both bet under. But there's no way. It's got to be under. I'm going under.
Okay. 217 is so long.
Does he have?
You guys don't remember. You guys don't remember the other speeches.
Oh, I remember. No, I remember.
This is not. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, it's not.
Because he has grievances, Jamie.
He does.
He has grievances against the Supreme Court. He has grievances against other countries.
He does.
He has grievances against everybody.
But there's a couple reasons why I think it might be under that. First and foremost, because of the time, right? I believe this is very late at night for him,
really,
for the audience.
Yeah, you're banking on that time.
The audience.
That start time.
Plus, he loves a good audience, right? By 9 p.m. Eastern, if you're going to 11 p.m. Eastern, you've lost a good majority of the American public. Even his own supporters don't necessarily, as we've seen time and again, stay with him for that amount of time.
You don't think Mitch McConnell can stay up all night?
Well, Mitch McConnell is having a hard time standing at a podium for 20 minutes at a crack.
Right, fair enough. Yes, I predict about halfway through this, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, you just see drool coming out because they're sleeping. the Supreme Court has just gotten up and left. Even the women that will be wearing white are just going to float
the
out.
The other reason I think that his handlers are going to try to limit how much he's at the podium is simply because of his polling numbers already in this second term. I think they know, I hope they understand, or somebody gets the message across to him that less is more, which again, 2 hours would be crazy long as it is, but it's never stopped him before. I mean,
I was going to say, are you guys new? This is not somebody who less is more. I'm sorry. Have you seen the interior decoration in the Oval Office? Have you seen the golden toilets? Less is, if you're not first, you're last. He is the Ricky Bobby of politicians.
This is
if
true.
You're not first, you're last. Go big or go home. This guy doesn't care. And he is going to air He's going to go after everybody. He's going to paint the rosiest picture of his policies and the worst picture of everything else. It's going to go back to his first inauguration speech where he talked about what a hellhole this country is. He's going to keep doing it and blaming.
I kind of feel like we need prop bets involved in this. Like, is he going to do the weave? How is he going to? Like, I feel like there should be prop bets involved.
He's
going to
start the weave at 8 o'clock and the weave will end at 10:20.
I feel like we're
so hard to follow.
I feel like we're missing the boat if we're not doing prop bets on this. But I think it's interesting because polling right now, if you've been following this, shows that his approval rating is at 36%. And those are incredibly weak numbers, especially if you look at the independents, which any candidate needs independents to win an election. They are largely driven by concerns over affordability and the cost of living.
Now, that's made up, Jamie.
We just make things up as we go. This speech is expected to mark the unofficial kickoff of the midterm campaign, and the president will use it to argue that his economic agenda is working. Never mind what the Supreme Court just told me, but it's working, and I've got these 15% tariffs now, and that there are better days ahead. He's also going to make sure that he tells us there are better days ahead.
Down the road, there are better days. We all got it. We're counting the days till the better days show up.
Now, he is, from what we know as of right now, he is likely to highlight last year's Republican tax package, what he calls the Big Beautiful Bill, of course. He is also going to claim that Americans will soon see larger tax refunds. What we know right now is that he's also going to point to eliminating certain taxes on tips and overtime and to corporate investment pledges that he's made since he came into office. And of course, the speech comes with some pretty significant challenges, right? We've already talked a little bit about the Supreme Court recently striking down the emergency tariffs, which were a central piece of the administration's economic strategy. He has responded by attacking those rulings and warning that the countries that play games could face even higher tariffs.
What kind of games?
Like
they don't want to pay? They don't want to pay illegal tariffs? Are those the games that we're talking
about? Yes, I believe those are the games that he's talking about. The UN won't strike any trade deals with him right now because of these blanket policies that he put into effect after that Supreme Court ruling. So I think those are the games that this president is probably referring to.
Well, John's back from Oshkosh. We're glad to have you. You can jump in, too. What do you expect to hear tonight when the president takes the stage? And if you want to get in on the betting, the over-under, we're not taking your money or betting your money, but you could just give us the over-under, too. You could do that at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll keep a tally of how many overs and unders we get. But John says they put up barricades around the White House. So not surprised if he announces martial law or something nuts like that. I don't think he'll do that, but there will be talk about ICE.
Yep.
There will be talk about going into these cities because obviously Democratic mayors and governors in sanctuary cities and states can't handle things.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how important the SAVE Act is because we've got to protect our election integrity.
Nationalized elections.
That'll be about 20 minutes worth of rambling incoherent lies. Then there'll be a mention of the concept of healthcare because, you know, God forbid, after a decade, his plan actually comes out.
I believe
may or may not actually exist.
When we get into the SAVE Act, he's also going to go back to the 2020 election, how he actually won that. He's going to talk about Fulton County, Georgia. That's also going to come up, I believe, at some point during the speech. So, I mean, I think we pull out all of the greatest hits. I think we essentially pull out the greatest hits.
There's one of your prop bets, Jamie. How many times will he say that he actually won the 2020 election? I'm going to set the line.
Okay.
I'm going to set the line at 9.
At 9.
At 9. Are you going over or under?
Oh, gosh. That one's a tough one. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over.
Okay.
I believe that a lot of this speech is going to be based on that because he wants the SAVE Act passed, because he wants to nationalize elections, because of Fulton County, because of the fact that he can tie that into the immigration as well, which, by the way, are all things he's done in the past. So I think he goes over that. Parker, what say you? Is he going to go over, under on?
Over, under 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to go under.
Under. Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Frank, I know you popped out, but okay, do you want to get in on this? Over, under on the prop bet.
Remember, all the prop bets are a dollar. House gets all the money.
I think Jamie's right. It's going to be over because this is going to be a huge talk, a huge,
huge, yes,
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 huge, huge, bigly, lot to talk about. All right, Frank went over, Parker went under, Jamie went over. Boy, this one, even though the money's not going to be there, we're going to all have to take 33% of Parker's money. I'm going to go with the over too. This is too easy. This is too easy of a prop bet. And remember, you can always jump in. Well, let's. Dick has been hanging on.
Yeah,
Jamie.
He's been on the phone. On.
He's in Madison. We're glad to have you, Dick. Welcome to the show.
I say it depends on how much Adderall they pump them full of. I'm saying too. Also, a new poll just came out, and on Morning Joe this morning, amongst independents, last year at this time he was at 41%. He is now at 26.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can't get much lower than that.
No.
And, no. Isn't that crazy? 26%?
26.
I've never heard of a number like that.
No, that's... No. I mean, that's why... This is why I feel like it goes back to what I said when we started talking about this. The less they have him out there, I think even some of the worst minds in his administration know the less he talks, the better it might be at this point.
Dick, so, we appreciate the update.
Thank you,
thanks
Dick.
Very much for the call. Yeah, see, and again, Jamie, as a logical human being, you make perfect sense.
I know.
But we're not talking about logical human beings. We're talking about a guy who can do whatever he wants.
Right.
And if you actually think there's somebody in that room with him that can tell him,
right,
listen, you need to talk less.
Yeah.
I want Parker to go in and check what's in that big mug you're drinking out of, because it's got to be straight up Scotch whiskey. There's no way. Yeah, see? Just don't light a match in here, Parker. It gets a little iffy in there. But no, he's not. He's going to do what he's going to do, and nobody else is going to have any input on there. A frustrating, infuriating, I believe, falsehood-filled train wreck.
We're going to cover 1 hour of it here tonight on Civic Media. From 8 to 9, we are going to bring you parts of the speech. We will have some great coverage. We will talk about all of the things that we can get to in that 1 hour. And so join us for that if you'd like to see some commentary. Now, I think it's interesting because we were talking about the poll numbers. Dick called up with those newest numbers, and I did a little digging into how he's doing here in Wisconsin. So a new statewide poll shows that the president's approval rating is also underwater right now in Wisconsin. Of course, everybody watches Wisconsin because it is a swing state. A new TIP survey found that 39% of registered Wisconsin voters approve of the president's job performance, 54% disapprove, which is a net negative of 15 points. Now, this poll was just conducted at the beginning of February, somewhere between the 6th and the 12th, among about 1,500 registered voters here in the state. And it had a margin of error, because I know people like to look into these things to make sure they're accurate, of less than 3%. Do we think
these unfavorable numbers will lead to Technomerica also stopping to release approval numbers, since that's been we didn't even talk about that.
No.
There's so much
there's
the tsunami
so
of garbage that comes out of this administration.
Yes.
But these are not good.
No.
That's why, going back to something we said before, he is in a panic.
Yes.
And he will flip out.
Well,
all right.
I guess we'll see tonight, huh? 7:19 right now.
Tonight.
You're listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Right, somebody
cue that up right.
What happened in there, Parker?
Parker, just off my own little world.
So much big talk from our
I get big in my britches, and all of a sudden, boom! boom.
Yeah, well,
mess up.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you get big in your britches. Usually a boom. Anyway, it is welcome back to Daybreak 7:23 on the Civic Media Network. Brian Noonan, Jamie Martinson, and our senior producer Frank, because it is now time for Swipe or Stay, a new segment that we premiered yesterday. Frank, give people the overview of what Swipe or Stay is, please.
Yeah, so it's pop culture news. I'm going to read some vague headlines to Brian and Jamie. They'll have to decide if they want to stay and hear more about it and talk about it, or if we're going to swipe on to the next story. If Brian and Jamie can't decide on what to do with it, Parker will be our tiebreaker. All right, on to the first one. A former Disney Channel star passed away.
Stay.
Yeah, I'll stay. Who is it?
All right, so Robert Carradine, who played the dad on Lizzie McGuire, passed away yesterday at the age of 71. His family confirmed that he did unfortunately take his own life after a battle with bipolar disorder.
That's
from Revenge of the Nerds, too, right?
Yeah.
For the older generation, you know him better as Lewis Skolnick from the 80s comedy Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's a shame.
Really bad. Lizzie McGuire, Hillary Duff, who's actually been in the news quite a bit because she just released her new album and is going on tour, posted a tribute to her Instagram. So they still did stay in touch and had a good relationship. She said it was really tough because it's like losing your own dad.
Yeah.
It was her dad on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's too bad.
Really sad. Parker, I'm assuming you've never seen Revenge of the Nerds.
Minus about a 5-second clip that I had a pull audio from for Brian. Yes.
That sounds about right. Put it on your list.
All right.
Nerd. Sorry, we had to start on a somber note, but we're going to.
Yeah, really, Frank.
It's the news. We have to talk about it.
I know. Okay.
I understand.
All right.
Moving on to number two. I don't know if it's more upbeat, but it's a wild story. A world-renowned media company issues a rare apology.
Stay.
I'm going to swipe just to see what Parker says.
Parker?
Well, I'm interested. Stay. Stay.
All right, we're staying. Okay, this is a lot. The BBC has issued an apology after not censoring a racial slur shouted out during the BAFTAs over the weekend.
Yes.
John Davidson, a man with Tourette's syndrome, shouted a racial slur at Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo while they were presenting an award. The BBC said some viewers may have heard strong and offensive language during the BAFTA Film Awards. This arose from involuntary verbal tics associated with Tourette's syndrome. And as explained during the ceremony, it was not intentional. Now, here's where the apology comes in. This was aired on a 2-hour tape delay. They decided to not censor it out. Now, if you haven't been to the UK, I will say they basically let anything fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in my hotel room a couple months ago and full frontal nudity was just on regular basic cable. It's a little bit different.
Wow.
Across the pond.
Yeah. But the N-word is the N-word's the N-word.
However.
Yeah.
Delroy Lindo, one of the actors that was presenting, also was really upset that nobody from the BAFTAs came up and checked on him to see if he was okay or apologized for the incident the night of. So the BBC and the BAFTAs really in some hot water over this one.
And the reason that guy was there, the Tourette's guy, is one of the movies that was nominated for Best Picture. It was based on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why he was in the room.
Yeah.
Because he yelled out a couple other things during the ceremony, too. But he called Alan Cumming a derogatory term.
Yeah.
He was all over. He was ticked up.
The timing was bad on all
the
of timing, all of
it. It was like in between sentences.
Right.
If you haven't watched the video, I don't recommend it, but it's a wild story. I don't think we've never seen anything like this, nor I don't think will we ever see anything like this again.
No. Absolutely. What else we got here this morning?
All right. Milwaukee Bucks star will not face charges.
Swipe.
Pass. Swipe.
All right. Swipe it on that one. A celebrity confirmed to have over 18,000 bot followers.
Stay.
We're staying. I'm glad you guys stayed because I think this is a good one. Our new favorite right-wing celebrity, Nicki Minaj, has had an increase in bot followers on her social media accounts. Politico shared the report, which was compiled by the disinformation detection company, Cyabra. I don't really know how to say it. In it, the analysis of Nicki's social media activity from November 11th to December 28th found that thousands of fake accounts use similar language to praise Nicki's posts and attack authentic accounts who were critical of Nicki. There was one day in December where 56% of all comments on Nicki's political posts were fake.
Wow.
Just as fake as her nails.
That's amazing. Holy
cow. And other parts of her.
They have called out the bot army.
I love it.
This is another one of those where somebody who was so popular back in the day, like when I was in high school, and Pink Friday came out, that album was listened to by everybody, no matter what genre of music you liked. It was so popular. And look at her now.
Well, let's be honest, though. Her husband and her brother both need a little help when it comes to the judicial system.
I don't think that's connected at all, Jamie.
No?
That is so,
it's just got to be some weird coincidence that happens with this administration every single time.
She went full Mar-a-Lago.
She did. That was a great addition.
Yeah, very nice. Swiper Stay. You can hear it every morning at 7:22 right here on Daybreak. Thank you, Frank. Always good work. Very nice. When we come back, Jamie, today, an inauspicious anniversary. It's the fourth anniversary of the war in Ukraine. Yuri Reskin will join us on Daybreak, and this is the Civic Media Network. Good morning, 7:35 on Daybreak, the Civic Media Network. I am Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Martinson. An inauspicious anniversary today, Jamie. The fourth anniversary of the beginning of the war between Russia and Ukraine. And, boy, things don't seem to be getting better.
Yeah, this is the fourth anniversary of the full-scale invasion. It happened on February 24th, 2022. And as this conflict enters its fifth year, the occasion is being observed through solemn commemorations in Ukraine and high-level diplomatic statements that have been have gone out globally. And so this morning, we are joined by Yuri Reskin. He is a Rock County Board Supervisor. He is also a news analyst for Russian-speaking news networks, raising awareness to the plight of civilians in this Russian-Ukrainian war. And so good morning, Yuri. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let's just jump right in, because President Zelensky is openly asking President Trump to stay on our side. And so at this moment, as we look at this four-year anniversary, is that starting to signal even more anxiety about U.S. support weakening under this current administration? And how does that bode for Ukraine going forward?
I think that the last 4 years have been a tremendous showcase to see both how weak Russian Empire is and how strong human spirit is. And I feel like we in America have something really to be proud of, surprisingly enough, because it seems like it's been 4 years of a 12-year war, and it just keeps getting, you know, more barbaric because that's how Russia fights. But we must not forget about the incredible impact that we as Americans have had on this, because I don't believe that Ukraine would have been able to last as long had it not been the leadership of America and a leader of NATO organizing everyone, the Ramstein group. This has just been a tremendous show of force, which I think is particularly important for us now when we see how disconnected we are and how it seems like we can't accomplish anything. And our leader says that he's the only one who can negotiate peace with Russia. And we don't even know what that piece looks like anymore. But not so long ago, we were able to rally everyone, and we were able to make a huge amount of difference. And the fact that we, for 3 years, were as helpful as we were, is what allowed Ukraine to be here now. And now it seems like it's Europe's turn to see if they can provide the assistance that is needed to stave off Russia. And so far they're doing it because Ukrainians really have very little illusions about what the United States is going to do under this president. It's just, you know, I think they're trying to understand what is the point of the peace process, where we see that America seems to be not an ally and at best a middle man, but seems like it's really leaning more towards Putin. And there's been a few moments over the last year that have been really like clarifying for a lot of Ukrainians and where Putin, where Trump stands, you know, surprisingly enough, a little thing like hanging a portrait of Putin and Trump inside the residence at the White House has been extremely telling to people, because I don't think there's a portrait of Trump and Zelensky on the other side of that door. And so we know where, you know, where priorities are, and it's wild and crazy. But for me, this has been a really interesting personal journey, because starting out as a YouTuber and finding my audience, and then it turned out that now I'm, you know, broadcasting in Ukraine to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people every day who want to know what's going on because of the crazy politics that we have. And I know that once we don't have the crazy president anymore, the amount of news and the interest in news will decrease, but that's okay. It's kind of like when the war is going to end, there will be less interest in news, but that's okay. Because, you know, that's what we got to get to.
So the only path forward, according to President Zelensky, which it makes sense, is for Russia to give back the territory that they've seized and leave. Based on what you're seeing, what you're hearing, based on this administration, is that possible? And if so, what steps would have to be taken to get Russia to concede? Because they don't seem like the conceding type.
No, they don't, because they don't pay attention to human life. They don't value it as such. And that puts us in a bind, because we're kind of like, wait a minute, how many people needs to die so that you would stop? And they're like, doesn't matter. We're like, what? But that's what becomes a war of resources, and to what extent they have the capacity to wage war. And if Russia has no capacity to wage war because nobody's buying its oil, because its oil refineries are on fire, because it has no money, Putin will continue to want to wage war, and he will engage in hybrid war against other European nations, but he is more and more limited in what he's actually able to do. And part of it is the technological revolution that occurred in the last 4 years, where Ukrainians are now relying more and more on drones and drone warfare, and now to the point that we are in the United States looking at buying their drones and using their technology. Because in the time of war, technology progresses very rapidly, because you don't have studies, you just have a battlefield. Mm-hmm. And you find out what works and what doesn't. And so Russia is stuck because they feel like under Putin, they have to fight. And so it's either end of Putin or it's end of Russian resources. And in the meantime, the only thing we can do is support Ukraine, because if Ukraine falls, then it's going to be Europe next. And we just keep looking weaker and weaker as a country that's supposed to be leader of the world. And people are kind of giving up on the idea of United States as being a world leader, world policeman. And that's good, because people should be aware that everybody needs to be able to kind of take care of themselves a little bit. But it's a big change after World War II, post-war, all, you know, world order, where United States said, we'll take care of everything, just, you know, follow our, you know, whatever we say. Yeah. But militarily, you're going to get taken care of. And now that doesn't even sound like it anymore. So Europeans, Ukrainians are losing faith and trust in the United States and are looking at how they can help each other, because it is a European problem first and foremost. And as long as Russia is going to be there, it's going to be a problem.
We're talking with Yuri Rashkin. He is the Rock County Board Supervisor. He's a news analyst for Russian-speaking news networks, raising awareness for the plight of civilians in the Russian-Ukrainian war. He also has on YouTube and Substack, check it out. It's called Rashkin Report. Now, Yuri, more than 80,000 Ukrainians are reported missing. Millions are still living without heat or electricity right now. From your perspective, are we fully grasping here in America what the human cost of that war is right now on Ukraine?
It's almost impossible for us to do that, because we have so little connection with Ukraine. And that's why for me it was important to go there a couple of years ago, just to see for myself, because I did not understand quite what I was speaking. You know, I was broadcasting out into YouTube, and who knows. And we need more human connections between the two countries. And the other day, there was a wonderful event in Milwaukee, put together by the Milwaukee Ukrainians as a concert to recognize the four-year anniversary. And there was somebody who is recovering, a soldier from Ukraine who is recovering in the United States, and he's speaking to different groups about what is going on. It's that kind of a understanding and communication that we really need to, because it's hard for us to grasp what it's like when you have a state that is waging war against civilian infrastructures, trying to freeze people, trying to cause them as much inconvenience as possible so they would put pressure on their government, not understanding that that's just not how it works. Because if you change Zelensky to Puplensky, Ukraine is still gonna, will not want to be part of Russia, because they know that that means genocide. Mm-hmm. And if you know that your choice is are those, then no matter how good or bad the president is, he's your president. He's, you know, leading you away from Russia. So I think that there's a lot of people who are wishing for elections in Ukraine. There's a lot of people who are wishing for change of leadership in Ukraine, but they also understand that elections cannot occur during a time of war. You know, it's unrealistic. And it's also, we see that Russia is using every tool. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? To win elections and to count votes and how it's going to be conducted. And and it's interesting that in Anchorage, Putin was giving Trump advice on how to run elections.
Yuri, a lot of the coverage of Zelensky is that he's this populist hero. He's a good wartime president. But based on what you were just saying, what do the Ukrainian people think of President Zelensky? Is it time for a change? I know that you can't have an election during the war, but is that what people are hoping for? And what do they think new leadership would bring as far as this war?
People of Ukraine have been hoping for a long time that if they elect the right president, Russia will stop. This is what they were hoping for when they elected Zelensky, because the last president was leading them in standing up against Russia. So Zelensky was hopefully going to be the guy who was going to find peace. Turned out that Putin thought that he installed a comedian who was going to be a piece of cake to roll over, who will just surrender immediately. And turned out that comedian actually is a really stubborn person. And that happens to people, even comedians. Mm-hmm. And this has been a big disappointment, I think, for Russia. But they keep thinking, they really refuse to admit that people have agency. They really, and this is what our president does the same thing. Like, he thinks it's about Putin and Zelensky. It's not about Putin and Zelensky. It's about Russian Empire trying to constantly get more land and the rest of the people around it trying to not be part of Russia. It doesn't matter if it's Zelensky, doesn't matter if it's Putin, the neighborhood is such. People in Ukraine would love to have a different leader who is more, better equipped and knowledgeable about different things. But there's a possibility, because there's General Zaluzhny, who is ambassador in Great Britain, and he's being prepped up as maybe being a replacement for next president of Ukraine. But I gotta say that who shows up at Zaluzhny's doorstep? Manafort, because that's the representative of Trump, Yanukovych, and Putin, and he offers Zaluzhny to win election easily. And Zaluzhny says, no, not with you, thank you. Yeah. So there's interesting dynamics that are happening, because we see that our administration is just as happy to get involved in any election anywhere as anything.
Zelensky has actually put a little pressure on this current administration and has said that you are not doing enough to stop Putin. You're not putting enough pressure on him. In your view, what kind of pressure would that actually look like from the United States to do what Zelensky is asking? We've got about 2 minutes here.
President Trump has all the tools at his disposal. He doesn't need any new sanction laws. He doesn't need anything that is being proposed by people like Lindsey Graham and even Senators Blumenthal and White House, because Trump has all the leverage at his fingertips already. He chooses not to apply it, because to him, this is just leverage that he can use. And he's trying to bring Russia back in from the cold in order to make a lot of money. And so we have a president who is running following this bait that says like $12 trillion of Russian economy. Russians are going, there's no $12 trillion in Russia if you sell the whole place. Like, it doesn't exist. That's the goal.
At the beginning of this, and before we let you go, Yuri, the resolve of the Ukrainian people has been the thing of legend, basically. Has that wavered at all, or are Ukrainians still gung-ho that this is our country, we're keeping it that way, and unfortunately we got about a minute?
From what I'm seeing, Ukrainians are just as committed to not being part of Russia as they ever were. I remember when I was there 2 years ago, and I saw these older women in a village who get together every morning to make mesh, you know, defensive mesh, protective mesh for soldiers, and they sing there, and they sit, and they sing songs, and that's how they spend their days. And I feel that country in that state, in such kind of state of mind, will be victorious, because it is a true accomplishment of Ukrainian people that we need to, you know, pay respect to for sure.
Thank you so much, Yuri, for being here this morning. That is Yuri Rashkin. He's a Rock County board supervisor, a news analyst for Russian-speaking news networks, raising awareness on the plight of civilians in the Russian-Ukrainian war. You can check him out on YouTube and Substack at Rashkin Report. It is 7:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. If you are listening in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or in Richland Center on WRCE, we are so glad that you are joining us today on Daybreak.
Yes, welcome. The U.S. women's hockey team that won the gold medal last week has refused an invitation to go to the State of the Union tonight. We'll get into that and the other peripheral outrage that is going on based on that. But I want to know from you, how do you feel about the women's Olympic team refusing that invite? There are some that said you should just respect the office. Is that an outdated concept? 855-75-CIVIC. We get just, if you're watching on the stream, you got Jamie's answer right there. 855-752-4842. So yeah, the women's hockey team was invited, but they weren't invited initially.
No.
They were invited after what has got the internet and a lot of people upset.
Yes.
And I've been going back and forth over this, Jamie. So if you want to give the background of this, so we can get into it.
First and foremost, how this all came to be should not surprise anybody, right? Because the president invited the U.S. men's hockey team on Sunday over the phone as they were celebrating their Olympic victory. And during that call...
With a drunk, allegedly, a drinking Cash Patel.
He's in videos with drink in hand. So yes.
Chugging beers.
Yes, yes. So during this particular call, which again, made over a speakerphone in the locker room, because every president has time to do this, he congratulated the players and even offered to send a military plane to bring them to Washington, calling the State of the Union the biggest speech. Then he joked that the women's team would have to be invited as well, saying otherwise he might be impeached. So this is not a sincere invite from this particular president.
And the problem was when he said that, he said, I must tell you, we're going to have to bring the women's team. You do know that. I do believe I probably would be impeached if I didn't. And then what's got everybody upset is everybody laughed.
Yeah.
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, I've been thinking about this and thinking about this. And I understand where the lack of respect is there 100%. It doesn't, you know, the lack of respect from the president to any sort of female, and especially female athletes. I don't remember seeing any reports of him calling the women's team when they won the gold medal the other day. The backlash against the players, in my opinion, is a little bit overblown.
Of course.
Yes. They shouldn't, you know, okay, because they gave full credit to the women when the men won the gold medal. They go, oh, we looked over at the women and they were there and the women were there cheering. I know that those play or I don't know. I assume that those players respect the male players respect the female players, other gold medal winners. I think these are guys who are on a high because they just beat their nemesis to win the gold medal. They're drinking beers. They're having a good time. They're probably like, oh, the president called us. And whether you agree with it or not, you know, the president called you and he makes what is not a joke. He'll frame it as a joke. Yeah. It's not a joke, but they laugh. I don't think there's a deep-seated disrespect for female athletes from the U.S. men's team. And I know that's going to inflame a lot of people, but it doesn't make sense. The president's disrespect, 100%. I get it. That's that.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
I mean, I'll give the men's hockey team a pass. I'm a female, right? And I'll give them a pass in this particular moment. Now, do it again in a different circumstance, the pass is gone, right? But in this particular instance, I will. Now, a spokesperson confirmed that both the men's and women's teams were formally invited. Still unclear whether the men plan to attend. Now, here's what I think is fascinating about this. As we ask this question, how you feel about the women's Olympic team refusing the invite? 1-855-752-4842, 75 Civic, if you'd like to chime in. Whether it's the women's hockey team, the men's team, or you know, maybe even the Seattle Seahawks, who declined a White House invitation after they won the Super Bowl, it's really up to the teams to make the call whether or not they choose to go to the White House, if they choose to go to the State of the Union, because boy, would that be exciting.
Well, the players have individually say, no, we're not going to go, or yes, we're going to go.
Now, considering the president personally called the men's team, and we saw FBI Director Cash Patel celebrating along with them, I would not be shocked to see the men's hockey team, probably not at the State of the Union, but maybe at the White House at some point. That moment felt a little bit like a bit of a love fest, maybe not with all the players, depending on where they are politically, but at least with some of them, you know? And here's the thing, I guess, go, don't go. We've seen teams make these decisions over time. Even when President Obama was in office, you'd see certain players say, I can't show up because I don't agree with his policies. We saw it under Biden. And here's the thing. Nobody cared. They just went about their business. Now, I foresee this particular president making a big deal out of it.
Oh, of course. Of course. There's, you know, if the women will be labeled as losers and da-da-da, and they're just radical feminists.
Yeah.
And if the guys don't come, they'll be ungrateful and ashamed of the country, just like he, you know, just like he said at the beginning of the Olympics. Anybody who speaks out against him is a loser or a sleazebag or whatever adjective he wants to use to describe them. And I think, let's not be silly, the NHL is going to have a little say in this, because all those players play for the NHL. The women use the very politically correct scheduling conflict, which is in some cases is legit because the games are going on. Those women are getting back to not only their college, but their pro games. We heard that a lot in the Kennedy Center when everybody dropped out of the Kennedy Center. It was scheduling conflicts. So good for the women's team for standing up for their rights. First of all, for being backhandedly invited. You don't want to go where you're not wanted.
No.
And two, we know from statements that a lot of those players do not support this president and this administration. And why be used as a pawn?
Well, and
because that's what he's doing. He wants to wrap himself in their flag.
And let's be realistic. It's the State of the Union. He's going to be up there for a bazillion years, and we're all going to live through it. Now, a quick programming note. If you're listening on WMDX, you are going to Stephanie Miller. Listeners across other Wisconsin markets, you're going to stay right here with Daybreak. It is 7:59 on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.